The Enduring Church of God presents Charles E. Bryce, bringing you a straightforward message on the abundant life and the good news of the kingdom of God.
Hello, everyone. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. Break into a thought here. These are the words of Jesus Christ. He says in Matthew 6 verse 9, "After this manner, therefore, pray you, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Verse 10, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." As you recall, his disciples had asked him to teach them how to pray, and so he was doing that. This is often called the Lord's Prayer. It's really an outline on how to pray. If you want to really turn to the Lord's Prayer, you can do that in John 17, where he prayed to his Father in heaven before he was taken and crucified. But this is a way to pray. And I want to concentrate here on verse 10, where it says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Did you ever notice that before? Jesus Christ himself was talking about his kingdom coming back to this earth. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." That's when his will be done, in earth. It will be done in earth when his kingdom comes back. And he said, when you pray, cover that in your prayer. Now let's turn over here to Acts chapter 1 and verse 6. Of course, his disciples and later apostles wanted the kingdom to come right then, and they were hoping it would. Look what they ask him over here in Acts chapter 1 and verse 6. Once again, breaking into a thought. "When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? He said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power." You know, there's a verse right there that tells us there's no point in trying to set dates. There's no point in trying to figure out all of these charts and timelines and then establish the exact day that Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth. Not only can you not do it, there's no point in doing it. We just leave that in God's hands, leave that in the Father's hands, and they know when the time is right and when it's best. And he told his disciples right then in verse 7, right there, there's no point in you doing that. It's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. Verse 8, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Go everywhere with this message. Verse 9, "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel." You can put other scriptures with that, and you will see that it was two angels that had manifested themselves in human form. Verse 11, "Which also said, You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." In other words, he's going to come back. You saw him when he went up, you're going to see him when he comes back. And when he comes back, he's going to bring his kingdom with him. Let's turn now to Revelation chapter 11 and verse 15 and see what that's going to be like, or just get a little snapshot, a little glimpse of it. Revelation chapter 11 and verse 15. By the way, we'll talk about the book of Revelation another time, but there are people who will tell you, don't dare read the book of Revelation. You'll get confused and you can't possibly know what it's talking about. And yet when you read the first chapter of the book of Revelation, it says that you can understand it, and if you read it, you'll be blessed. Here in Revelation chapter 11 and verse 15, regarding Jesus Christ and his kingdom coming back to this earth, "The seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." He's going to reign forever and ever, and the kingdoms of this world are going to become absorbed into his kingdom, and then he's going to be in charge, and everything is going to be different when that takes place. Let's continue in this book of Revelation over here to Revelation chapter 20 and verse 6, a very interesting part of the Bible. Once again, breaking into a thought here. It says here in Revelation 20 and verse 6, "Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection." You know what that means, don't you? That means if there's a first resurrection, then there's another resurrection and another resurrection. We've gone into this before. If you have the first car in the parking lot, that means you're going to have more than one in the parking lot. Otherwise, it would just say the car in the parking lot. If you're not going to have more than one resurrection, it would just say, "Blessed and holy is he that has part in the resurrection." But when it says the first resurrection, that's a clue to tell you that there's going to be more than one. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ. And look at this. And they shall reign with him 1,000 years. The last part of verse 4 here in Revelation chapter 20. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now, where is that going to take place? Well, keep reading here in verse 7 of Revelation 20. Notice it says the last part of verse 6, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Verse 7, and when 1,000 years are expired or completed, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. Remember, he was put in the bottomless pit. And verse 8, and shall go out to deceive the nations. Well, where are the nations? They're on earth. It says it right here. He shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. So he's going to come back to this earth, he's going to establish his kingdom on this earth, and he's going to reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And in this particular instance, that period of time will be for 1,000 years. He'll continue to reign forever, but it's talking about a period of time here where he will reign and establish his kingdom for 1,000 years, and then on after that, as we will see another time. Now, what will that reign and that kingdom be like when it is established on this earth and when he is king? I'll tell you, it's going to be something that is incredible, amazing, very inspiring and uplifting and encouraging as we understand it. Let's turn over here to Micah chapter 4 in the Old Testament. You know, the whole Bible is interwoven, and it needs to be studied together in order to understand any part of it thoroughly and fully. Over here in Micah of the Old Testament and chapter 4 and verse 1, just look at the picture painted here. Just read this and meditate on it and think about it and broaden your horizons and take this in and imagine what it's going to be like when this begins to take place on this earth in the kingdom of God with Jesus Christ here as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Chapter 4 of Micah, verse 1. But in the last days, so that tells you the time. There's only one time that fits the description of the last days. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and the people shall flow unto it. That's never happened before. That's talking about a future event, never taken place in all of history. And many nations, verse 2, shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law, the Ten Commandments, shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Eternal from Jerusalem. In other words, this is going to be the way of life that really works instead of the way of life that we have around today that doesn't work. That's what it's talking about. Look at the results of the kingdom being here on this earth. And he shall judge among many people, verse 3, Micah 4, and rebuke strong nations afar off, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, and nations shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. Now, of course, that's biblical language, but if you put it in modern-day language, what that's saying is you're going to melt down your tanks and your guns and your cannons and your submarines and aircraft carriers and airplanes, and you're going to get rid of the implements of war, and you're going to turn them into implements of farming. And instead of having the kind of world we have today, we're going to have a world that is filled with peace and joy and happiness and prosperity, filled with love instead of hatred, filled with productivity and abundance and plenty. And all of the devastation that takes place because of all of the wars that are going on and have gone on throughout history will be a thing of the past. If you really study history, you can kind of sum it up in a simplistic way like this. It's a matter of preparing for war, engaging in war, and recovering from war, only to go and prepare for war again, and then engage in war, only to recover from war. And as this goes on, the field of debris in human terms and in material terms is just devastating throughout the centuries and the millenniums. Think of the Civil War. I mean, we're still recovering from that. Well, that's going to be a thing of the past. Neither shall they learn war anymore. Verse 4. And they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Eternal of Hosts has spoken it. Now, of course, they're not going to just sit there and do nothing else. That's giving you a glimpse into the peace, into the utopian society, into the way of life that will be established in the kingdom of God on this earth for 1,000 years with Jesus Christ as the King. There's going to be a lot of activity, a lot of productivity, many challenges. There's going to be enterprises undertaken. There's going to be all kinds of developments and creativity that will flow from the mind of man guided by the mind of Christ. It's going to be an amazing time. And that's going to happen because the King comes back to this earth. And that's some of the reasons why Christ said, you ought to be praying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on this earth as it is now being done in heaven, because that's going to change everything. What we just read there in Micah chapter 4, verse 1 through 4, is the way it should have been all along. And it could have been that way all along. But mankind insisted on doing it his way instead of God's way. So God gave man a choice. And because of human nature and all that that means, mankind, generally speaking, with a few exceptions here or there, always makes the wrong choice. And what do we have as a result of humanity going its own way and doing its own thing and leaving God out of the picture? We have war, rumors of war. We have crime that's almost out of control in any place you look on earth. We have disease epidemics. People don't hear too much about AIDS anymore and they think it's gone. It's not gone. It's getting worse and worse. Anarchy in certain places. You hear it all the time on the news. Thugs take over the street, take over the city, take over the capital of this and that and the other nation. You have the drug war going on. You can hear reports almost daily how the borders are broken. The southern border between the U.S. and Mexico, and drugs just come flowing over it. But now you hear about the border between Canada and the U.S. being broken, and drugs just flow over it. And they get dispersed throughout the country, and the result is, once again, ruined lives and disaster for the people who get involved in that kind of thing. Well, that's going to be a thing of the past in the kingdom of God. Poverty will be a thing of the past. All kinds of upset weather conditions. Drought in one place or several places. Too much water in another place. Terrorism, a daily threat that we face. Family breakdown, which is causing breakdowns in other aspects of our society. You just keep on adding all of this up and there's a mountain of unsolvable problems that eventually will lead to the destruction of the planet if God does not intervene, but he is going to intervene. Let's read about that intervention right over here in Zechariah chapter 14. Turn over here to Zechariah chapter 14 in your Bible and read it with your own eyes. It's really inspiring. It's really uplifting. It's real. We've already talked about how you can prove whether or not God exists. You can prove he exists. We've already talked about how you can prove the Bible is inspired. Okay, now let's read in the Bible what's coming in the future. And by the way, we're not reading about metaphors. We're not reading about analogies. And we're not reading about allegories. So often when you get to these specific chapters of the Bible and you start reading about this, they will be kind of swept under the rug of, well, that's just a kind of a poetic kind of allegory. That's just a metaphor. No, the Bible says what it means, and it means what it says, and these are literal things that it's talking about here. Let's notice here in Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 1. Behold, the day of the Lord comes, and your spoil shall be divided in the midst of you. There's only one time that can be called the day of the Lord, and that's in the future, when he comes. And this time he's going to come back not as our Savior, but as our conquering King, and it's going to take a tremendous amount of power to bring man to his knees. And he's going to exercise that power for the good of everybody. And then he'll establish his kingdom on earth. But man will not voluntarily submit to him. He'll have to use power to bring that about. And here's an example of that. For I will gather all nations, verse 2, against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Verse 3, then shall the Eternal go forth and fight against those nations. Now that's what he says. And that's not happened before, but it's going to happen, so it must be in the future. Then shall the Eternal go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north and half of it toward the south. Been to the Mount of Olives a couple of times, probably a lot of you have. You can stand right there on the Mount of Olives and read this verse and think about what's coming in the future. This has never happened before, but it's going to happen in the future when Jesus Christ returns to this earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Verse 5, and you shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azal. Yea, you shall flee like as you fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come and all the saints with you. It shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Eternal, not day nor night. But it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light, and it shall be in that day that living water shall go out from Jerusalem, and half of them toward the former sea, or the eastern sea, or Dead Sea, and half of them toward the Hinder Sea, or the Western Sea, or Mediterranean Sea. In summer and in winter shall it be. And the Dead Sea no longer will be dead. It'll be fresh. It'll come to life. But look at verse 9 of Zechariah 14. And the Eternal shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. Now you tell me in 6,000 years of human history when this has ever happened, when he came back as conquering King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he established his government and his kingdom on this earth with power and might, and then all over the face of the earth, he is the king. So this is going to happen in the future. This is literal. This is real. This is not a fairy tale or a daydream. And the Eternal, verse 9, shall be king over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Lord and his name one. He's going to take over. And now things are going to be done right. And it's going to be fantastic and wonderful what happens because of him being here and because of him being in charge and because of his kingdom ruling all mankind and the earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We sure ought to be able to pray fervently. That happens when we begin to understand all of these things that we're going through right now from God's word. Let's just notice in particular detail what it will be like in the kingdom of God under the leadership, the loving, kind, gentle, merciful, and yet when necessary, powerful leadership of Jesus Christ. Let's turn here to Isaiah chapter 11. A wonderful book, this book of Isaiah. It does get into some very specific details regarding the kingdom of God, and it's very encouraging and very inspiring. And as we look at the vast array of almost insurmountable, unsolvable problems that we see around us in every direction, and it's not almost, it is insurmountable, and they are unsolvable, we need to make sure we don't lose hope and think, oh, well, this is never going to get fixed. Yeah, it's going to get fixed, all right. And we're reading about who's going to fix it and how he's going to fix it. Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 1. There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Jesus Christ came from the Jewish lineage, Jesse, David, etc. So he's just talking about his human ancestors here, but it's talking about Jesus Christ. Verse 2, and the Spirit of the Eternal shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor. Verse 4, Isaiah 11, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. That's right, he's not going to tolerate all that we have to try to live with and adjust to and work around today. He's going to clean all that out, and he's going to replace it with righteousness. Verse 5, righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Now, what's going to be the result of this kind of leadership, this kind of rule, this kind of atmosphere, this way of life? What will be the result of that? This is an entirely different way of life than what we're accustomed to today, no matter where you look in whatever direction. And the results will be magnificent. Look at the results here of this way of life, of this kingdom on earth, of this King, Jesus Christ, in charge. Look at verse 6. The wolf also shall dwell with a lamb. You ever heard in history where that's possible? Oh, you might tame a wolf and all of that, but I'm talking about typically in nature. That would never happen. What's going to happen in the future? The wolf also shall dwell with a lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with a kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Now, you might say, oh, I don't think that's ever going to happen. That's just like reading a Mother Goose fairy tale or something Disneyland would come up with. No, this is in God's word. God inspired verse 6. This is literal. This is going to happen. It's coming in the future. Don't let what you see around you today get you down. Turn over here and read Isaiah 11 and verse 6 and get a real pickup, because this is going to happen. We don't know exactly when. We can't set the date, but we're in the last days, so we know this is definitely coming. Verse 7, and the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. Isn't that a tremendous change to what we know about today? The cow and the bear feeding together out in the wilderness? What a change in the nature even of the beast. And the sucking or nursing child shall play on the hole of the asp or of the viper, of the cobra. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den, the viper's den, and won't be bitten, won't die from the venom. I mean, there's going to be peace, and there's going to be happiness, and there's going to be health, and there's going to be prosperity, and learning, and growing, and developing, and tremendous living by everybody on earth. And it's even going to be that way in the plant kingdom and in the animal kingdom. What a time this is going to be in the kingdom of God, in the world tomorrow, for 1,000 years, when Jesus Christ will be on this earth, guiding and directing everything, and others in his government helping him in doing that. Verse 9, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. Mountain quite often in symbolic language in the Bible is used as government. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign or banner of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek. To him shall the Gentiles seek is a better translation, and his rest shall be glorious. His rule is going to be magnificent. There's never been a time that we know of in history that matches verse 9. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth, the entire planet, shall be full of the knowledge of the eternal. Never been that way. As the waters cover the sea. But it will be that way then. Everything changes for the better then. Every problem will be solved. That's right. This is real. This is true. This is coming. A couple of more scriptures. Let's turn over here to Isaiah chapter 35 and verse 1. You know, it's really sad to visit any hospital in any city now, any mental ward. It's really sad to consider the human suffering that you'll find on almost any street. Look at this example here. Look at this picture. Look at this promise. Look at this description about what it's going to be like in the future. Isaiah chapter 35 and verse 1. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. You might have flown out to California. You fly over the desert. You're 35,000 feet up. You look out of the plane as far as you can see for many, many miles. Nothing but dust, 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 and more dust. Think about when that's going to begin to be productive land. It's going to blossom. It's going to turn out food that is delicious. Food that doesn't have to be sprayed and fertilized and fungicided. It's going to be just wonderful, healthful, organic food in the desert will come alive without a lot of irrigation, without a lot of all of the chemicals used now to grow it. Just good, solid, organic earth. And it grows out of there because the desert is now blossoming and blooming like a rose. Verse 2, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Eternal and the excellency of our God. Verse 3, strengthen you the weak and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you, and he'll square everything up. And that's what I'm saying here today. Sure, sometimes it gets scary, and sometimes it gets intimidating and daunting to try to negotiate your way through this earth and this world and this society today. Turn over here to Isaiah 35 and verse 4. And read it, and it'll help you reorient and put everything in perspective. When you really prove that God exists, the Bible is inspired, and this is really actually coming in the future, it's going to happen. And I hope you then can tie it back in with what Jesus Christ said in the verse we started with. When you pray, pray thy kingdom come, thy will be done on this earth as it is now being done in heaven. That'll help you think about it more, and it will help others think about it more, and then you'll begin to anticipate it. It's going to happen, and you're praying that it will happen, and God will hear that prayer. And that does go a long way towards settling down what otherwise is rather intimidating and rather daunting to try to figure out, if it's this bad now, how much worse is it going to get in the future? You look on past that, and you think about Isaiah 35, and you realize, we'll just keep on going, because this is all going to be changed in God's own due time. And the way it's going to be changed is the king is coming back with the kingdom. And then he's going to straighten every bit of it out. Look at this in verse 5. Then the eyes of the blind shall be open, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Can you imagine people who have lived for so long and can't see, and now they'll be able to have 20/20 vision? People who've never been able to hear beautiful music or hear the voice of their loved ones, now they have perfect hearing. That's right. This is going to take place. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. People who can't even walk will be able to run and jump. People who can't even speak because they just can't form the words, they may be brilliant. They may want to say so much, and they've never been able to. Now they'll be able to say whatever they want to say or sing whatever they want to sing. This time is coming. And the parched ground, verse 7, shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water, in the habitation of dragons, where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes, and a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there upon that highway, is what it means, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of the eternal shall return, and come to Zion with songs, and everlasting joy upon their heads, and they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. This is not pie-in-the-sky pipe dreams. This is talking about reality. This is going to happen. The king will be in charge, the kingdom will be in place, and everything only gets better from that time forth. Don't chalk this up to being mushy emotionalism. Chalk it up to being fact. Look into it. Saturate your mind with these prophecies. Saturate your mind with these promises. That'll help you put other things in perspective when you feel weighted down and you feel like you've lost your way. Because this is real. This is going to happen. This is good news. I want to conclude by turning over here to Matthew chapter 24 and verse 14. Maybe this scripture will mean more now after we've gone through some of these verses. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 14. This has got to be gotten out to the whole world. These are the kind of messages people need to hear more of, published and preached. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 14. It says in verse 14, Jesus Christ speaking, this gospel, that just simply means good news. This good news of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. I think you'd have to agree with me. When you start talking about the kingdom of God coming back to this earth, and Jesus Christ bringing it and establishing it, and he as the king, if there ever was good news, that is good news. That is the gospel of the kingdom of God. That is the good news of the kingdom of God. So Jesus Christ was correct, as always, when he said, pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on this earth, as it is now being done in heaven. Let me tell you, this is going to happen. Nothing can stop it. Nothing can prevent it. Nobody can get in the way of it happening. It's going to happen. Whether you believe it or not, whether you understand it or not, whether anybody else cares or not, this is going to take place. So let's take courage. Let's take heart. Let's take hope. Help is on the way in God's own good time. It's coming, and nobody can stop it. If you would like to have more information about the kingdom of God, ask for our free CD entitled The Pearl of Great Price. Also ask for our free magazine, Straightforward, and we'll mail that to you as well. Just call our toll-free number at 1-800-581-1317. That's 1-800-581-1317. Or you can go to our website at straightforward.org. This is Charles Bryce with the Enduring Church of God.
For more information, you may write to Enduring Church of God, P.O. Box 1317, Chandler, Texas, 75758, or visit our website at straightforward.org.